Well, good morning, everyone. This is January of 2023, so we've clicked over to another calendar page. And we're starting now on the 8th of January, continuing our studies. And we're in document 55 in a review, and that's on page 550 is where we will resume our studies in a few moments. I did want to point a couple of things out before we get into our study, is to point out that we will have Eucharist on this month, but on the third Sunday, that's the 15th. So we'll have Eucharist that day, but no luncheon. And so that's give you heads up on how things are going to go as far as the schedule is concerned. The first was on a Sunday, and so we were all out of whack on that particular week. So that pushes the Eucharist down to the third Sunday. Now, in our studies, we, as I mentioned, are advancing in our geological line from Cain's Park chart pedigree, beginning with Enoch. And we studied that as we finished up our study almost last time we met. That was back in last year. And so there were some things that we did, and I want to point that out to you. We're in document 56. And we stopped our study on page 552 after going through 16 points. The title of this particular exercise was The Geological Line of Adam's Chart Pedigree, Beginning with Seth. Now, if you remember back in our studies, we're examining a concept that emerges in Scripture. And it turns out that Scripture is one thing. Now, there's 66 books, and you're familiar with that. They're divided into two sections, the Old and New Testaments. And we have quite a number of categories of theology that are involved in all 66. But when it comes right down to it, there's a drama that is being exposed in the pages of Scripture. The drama is exactly what is it and why are we going through this? Are there things we need to understand, and how many categories of theological ideas are involved? And I would suggest to you that there are many, but there's one story being told, and that one story being told has to do with the angelic conflict. It has to do with the fact that we are involved in becoming good citizens in a fallen planet. And therefore, our duty, once we place our personal faith in Jesus Christ, is to then become good soldiers for Christ. The only way that you can be a good soldier is to start understanding how God thinks, and how He thinks is the way He wants us to think. And He has given us information to give us all the information we need in order to be a good soldier for Christ. Now, we've been doing this for some good while, but what we're looking at has to do with what is it that's going on planet Earth. Things are pretty dramatic right now, but they've been dramatic from the get-go. There's nothing new about this. This is called the fifth cycle of discipline for a client nation, and therefore our duties are to stand fast, to grow in grace, and therefore be a good soldier for Christ. How this is going to play out, we don't know, but there's no client nation that has survived so far except this one, and it is teetering. And the more that I watch the passing parade, the more I am convinced that we are in a downtrend as a client nation. I think that there are those in Christendom who have the opportunity to rejoin the effort. The effort is the invisible war. The invisible war has to do with what goes on invisibly, quite apparently, but invisibly in the sense that we are those who have within our souls immutable ideas, and God will honor those immutable ideas. But we have to have them. We have to have them on the launching pad, and we have to be willing to go into our inventory of ideas and make application as circumstances require. And therefore, even though there are things going on within this client nation that absolutely are way above anything we have ever experienced in this client nation's history, as far as the loss of thought is concerned, it doesn't change the fact that those who are positive are the ones who can hold the fort. And so I welcome you to be here after we've taken a couple of weeks off to resume our studies. Now, the geological line from Adam's chart pedigree beginning with Seth is an important place because Seth replaced the fallen Cain. And Seth, of course, is a witness for the prosecution. And he therefore joins a line. And this line is going to continue to go forward. You're actually related to him. He is one of the few who survived what we will be examining in our study. If we don't make it today, we will make it certainly by midweek. But what we're having before us is a drama. And the drama has to do with how things play out, and we know that we win in the end. But there are dispensations involved, and the dispensation we are in is the church age. In the church age, there is a concept and a principle that permeates the entire dispensation, and that has to do with acquiring within our souls those principles and doctrines related to the church. And then once this church age is over, Jesus Christ is going to pull us off this planet and take us into his heavenly sphere called the rapture of the church. I know you're praying for it. But nevertheless, we're here as warriors for Christ. While we're here, do not in any way think that, oh, I wish the rapture would occur and we could get out of Dodge. How about being a good soldier for Christ? How about saying, as long as I'm able to get there, I'm going to show up and I'm going to get within my soul at least one more principle that I can use to be a good soldier on the battlefields of the invisible war. And one more day, one more Bible class, one more doctrine, one more chance. That's our duty. And it doesn't matter how many we are, it has to do with the fact and the principle of who and what you are. And so we're here to grow in grace. But in order to do that, you need to understand the battlefield on which we have to compete. And the battlefield is the devil's world. Lucifer runs this show. You say to me, well, Jesus is involved too. Yes, he is. But the planet's fallen, and the planet fell in Genesis. And Lucifer, therefore, is the one who has the advantage. And only those who have the immutable ideas and principles of the Word of God percolating in their souls can be good soldiers for Christ. And those who are ignorant of these things are therefore emissaries for the dark side. So I congratulate you for showing up. You've had 2 weeks off, and here we are resuming our study. And therefore, I wanted to review the principles that we noted in closing way back last year. Here it is. And I think I have a picture. Line of Christ longevity chart. That's how deep we've gotten in our study. And I call this the genealogical line from Adam's chart pedigree beginning with Seth. And that comes from Genesis 5:2. Reads this way. God created them, male and female, when they were created. He blessed them and named them humankind. And humankind is a word that's spelled A-T-H-A-M, Adam, and it means homo sapiens, and that's who you are. And therefore, you're in the bloodline. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. These people that preceded you, you now are the representatives that must take up the slack and keep moving forward. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be ready to be a good soldier for Christ. You have to be willing to do the boring Bible classes. You have to, therefore, be willing to concentrate and pull things together in 11 categories of systematic theology. And if you can do that, then you can make good decisions from a position of power. It's invisible power. But God honors His word wherever it is found, including your soul, and from your execution of biblical ideas in your personal life. We are in a very dangerous situation, let's just say, with regard to client nation status. We do not have the leisure to worry about the things that are going on around us. There are certainly things that warn us that the stability of the client nation is on the brink. But then who are you? Who is it that can restore order? There's only one individual that can do this. And that one individual has to join with others and therefore stand fast for the Word of God, regardless of the circumstances each of us face. We have the Word of God. And the more power we accrue by studying the Word, the more powerful we have an impact on client nation America. You get it done right here, or through electronic contrivances, and we have many. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be a good soldier for Christ. Let doctrine be number one in your life. Grow in grace and add another idea to your inventory of biblical absolutes and stand fast with it. So I wanted to go back and review the subtitle that we noted in closing last year. Here's how it reads again. The genealogical line from Adam's chart pedigree beginning with Seth. Now, we've got a murder of Abel, and Cain, of course, is a heathen, so he had to be replaced, and that's Seth. And that's Genesis 5:2. Line of Christ longevity chart. Take a look at this. Who are these guys? Well, it starts with Adam, and then it moves down to Noah. And we're going to take up Noah today, possibly. Maybe we'll get to him. But we've got things going on this chart right here. And who are these guys? Well, these are the guys who are witnesses for the prosecution. And note how long they last before they die and go to heaven and be with the Lord. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And note the years these individuals lived. Do you know why they lived so long? Well, they were the first ones on the, what shall we say, the assembly line. Jesus Christ was involved in creating these people. You see that Methuselah lived 969 years. That's almost a millennium. But you know who he was? He was a very key individual with regard to how things are going to play out in the future. And the prophecy was that when Methuselah dies, things are going to start happening then. And so what we're going to take a look at today and following is what were the circumstances on planet Earth that caused Methuselah and his death to be a warning to all those who were believers that God is about to clear the decks. And this is called a do-over. And you are the result of the do-over. So let's see what we've got going. Point one, the chart pedigree of Adam's line is listed in Genesis 5:3 through 32. That's the chart pedigree. Now, what is a pedigree? In genealogy, pedigree has to do with a family line. That's an example. So you have a family line, and therefore you have a chart pedigree. And some people in your family may have done the research. You can go back several generations and therefore say Uncle Fred and Aunt Harriet were those who came over on a boat many moons ago from wherever. And they started our family line, and therefore I am the current offspring. These are blood, and your chart pedigree has to do with all of those people who preceded you. What you see on the board is the chart pedigree of the original families. And the chart pedigree is these guys were all believers, and those with whom they were associated, wives and children and so on. And therefore, that takes a look initially. And note how long they lived, because it was a perfect environment. God does not create anything imperfect. He created a perfect planet. And so we have this here. And then when sin entered in into the problem, then there was a slow but sure diminishment of the power of the planet on which they were functioning. But this is a perfect planet. And the fall of man, therefore, created a problem, but it was in the souls of the individuals. And so some people had to step forward and say, I'll carry the concept, the idea, the principle, and the word. And these are the people who did it. But they're those angelic warriors who wanted to bring all of this to an end. So let's get cracking. You see on point one who these individuals are. The chart pedigree of Adam's line is listed in Genesis 5, 3 through 32, which continues down to the universal flood. This list contains 12 sons, Seth, and followed by Enosh, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These are the guys that set everything going. Now, throughout this passage, each of these men are recorded as also having other sons and daughters, except for Enoch, whose only offspring was Methuselah. Noah's sons, children, are not mentioned until after the universal flood. So consult Genesis 10 for the complete roster of the children of Japheth, Ham, and Shem, which are listed in reverse order of their fathers' births. It is difficult to discern the offering of each of these three sons, the offspring of these sons' children, since chapter 10's title in the NET Bible is the Table of Nations, which contains people and countries. The earth is going to be divided up into countries. People will go into these particular areas, and that's where they'll function. So that would be called nationalism ultimately. Yet one's perusal of the chapter provides an abundance of information regarding the post-diluvial population of the earth. Post-diluvial means after the flood. Now, the reason for the universal flood is the subject of Genesis 6, which describes Lucifer's counterattack on the Lord's promise found in Genesis 3:15. Reads this way: I will put enmity between you. Who's you? Well, that would be the serpent. I'll put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, Isha, and between your seed, Lucifer, and her seed, Messiah. He, Messiah, shall bruise you on the head. That's the defense attorney, Revelation 20, verse 10. And you shall bruise him on the heel. That's the crucifixion that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Matthew 27, 35, Mark 15:24, Luke 23:33, and John 19, verses 17 and 18. And that goes back to Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you, the serpent. Remember, there's a conversation they have with the serpent in the garden, and he was a slick-tongued rascal. And the woman, Isha, she started the whole downfall. And between your seed, Lucifer's, and her seed, Messiah's, he shall bruise you on the head. Got that? Defense attorney, Revelation 20:10. And you shall bruise him on the heel, the crucifixion. Now, Cain has been banished to Noth, which was east of Eden. And we have noted his chart pedigree in Genesis 4:16 through 24. His firstborn son was Enoch. Adam's second son was Abel, that's Havel, whom Cain murdered. However, Adam had relations with Isha, and that resulted in the birth of Seth. So procreation replaced the one that was murdered. So we have noted the chart pedigree of both these family lines. Cain's line does not subscribe to the divinely authorized form of worship by the presentation of a blood offering indicating they are witnesses for the defense. So we have a court case already, don't we? We have Cain, who is being led by Lucifer. That's his emissary. And therefore, he is banned, as you may recall. He's run out of Dodge, so to speak. But nevertheless, he has offspring. And these offspring are witnesses for the defense. And they are the ones that are going to carry, let's say, carry the ideas, the principles, and the doctrines from the dark side. And you have Adam, and he is going to have another son who is going to be Seth. And Seth, therefore, is going to be involved in being witnesses for the prosecution. And this is how the process begins. We'll see more about these guys as you take a look at the line of Christ's longevity chart, all the way down to Noah. Now, there's a process here. Note how long these people lived. There's a process here of resolving what initially is going to be called the angelic conflict. Angelic conflict means what? It means that we are at war with a group of individuals who are not human, but rather are angelic, and they have eternal life. All angels have eternal life. It just depends on where they spend it. Got that? No angel dies. So there's going to be the good guys and the bad guys. And the bad guys are on planet Earth, and they're doing things constantly in order to confuse those who are witnesses for the prosecution. And the way that they're confused is to be propagandized and therefore led to believe a lie. And if you don't have doctrine, you will ultimately believe the lie because you think that it is true. Therefore, how is it you can defend your soul in a hostile environment when the dark side is hell-bent and determined to confuse you and lure you into their way of thinking? We have wonderful examples going on presently in our client nation. If you can't pick up the newspaper, the magazine, the television channel, the movie, the book, the magazine, and discern what's being communicated in those media, then you are, what shall we say? You are vulnerable to the propaganda from the dark side. The only way that you can figure out how to think is to get into the scripture and learn what the absolutes are. And then with this inventory of absolutes, then evaluate incoming data. Can you evaluate incoming data? Do you know what the truth is? Do you know what the lie is? Can you protect your own soul from what is being broadcast through varied and sundered media? Can you do that? And what is your inventory that enables you to do that? Do you have a large enough inventory of biblical absolutes that will give you a warning? What I am seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm reading is erroneous, and I need to reject that. So we have these concepts. I want to take a look at on page 551. We have the universal flood, reasons for it. That's the subject of Genesis 6, which describes Lucifer's counterattack on the Lord's promise found in Genesis 3:15. I just went through that with you. And this is a revelation here. So Cain is a problem. Cain has been banished to Noth, which was east of Eden, and we have noted his chart pedigree in Genesis 4:16 through 24. His firstborn son was Enoch. Adam's secondborn was Abel, Havel, whom Cain murdered. However, Adam had relations with Eshah, and that resulted in the birth of Seth. So now they've replaced the one that was murdered. Now we've noted the chart pedigree of both these family lines. Cain's line does not subscribe to the divinely authorized form of worship by the presentation of a blood offering, indicating they are witnesses for the defense. You remember that little display we've already studied. In other words, he brought vegetables. Cain did. What did the other guy bring? A lamb. A lamb which is alive but can be executed. Therefore, becoming an example of what's going to occur in the future. The lamb, therefore, represents the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, this was not, therefore, an exercise in the context in which we find it, to do anything other than to give an illustration, the illustration of how to think erroneously, and therefore the idea and the power to think accurately. Do you know that Jesus Christ was in the garden? Jesus Christ was there. We've studied that particular passage. And what we're seeing here in these passages is Jesus Christ appearing with these original people. And therefore, he is going to observe what's going on. And when Cain shows up with his vegetables, then we know he's the bad guy. And that sets the stage, guys. It's the same thing all over again from that point to the present hour. If you do not understand the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of the entire world, and that everything hinges on that, and that there's nothing anywhere else that can come in and provide a substitutionary solution other than that of the perfect Christ, then you do not understand what's going on in the devil's world. Jesus Christ is the issue. And he is the ultimate substitutionary sacrifice. And that's being demonstrated in the early pages of Scripture. Seth's line did subscribe to the blood offerings and therefore fulfilled the divine mandate. These events warned Lucifer that over time, the witnesses for the prosecution would eventually overwhelm his witnesses for the defense. Therefore, his demonic rationales veered away from their original presentations of evidence in the Divine Court of Appeals between the fallen angels and Cain's followers and the elect angels and Seth's followers. And nothing's changed since. What occurred next was something that God's omniscience anticipated from his divine decree. When boxed in, God knew that Lucifer would cheat. Why not? He doesn't have any integrity. He's going to propagandize. He's going to cheat. He's going to dissuade. He is going to try and lead people astray so that they cannot understand nor therefore apply the concepts and ideas of a substitutionary sacrifice, and which would be ultimately Christ. So, what occurred next was something that God's omniscience anticipated from his divine decree. When boxed in, God knew that Lucifer would cheat. God allowed this to occur since the courtroom of the appeal had to do with the witnesses from both sides, testimonies and exhibits from each, and each side's presentation of evidence. From the bloodlines of the competing sides of the argument before the Divine Court of Appeals were an ever-increasing number of witnesses, yet still presenting the same testimonies. Now that's where we left off about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now we are to another subtitle. The Luciferian Rebellion employs speciation to eliminate Homo sapiens. In our previous studies of genealogy, we noted the kingdom, Animalia, genus, canis, dog. We had to go through this to understand how things are broken down. We have creatures, and creatures are in categories. And these categories define critters as well as individuals. So in our previous studies of genealogy, we noted the kingdom, Animalia, the genus, canis, dog. The species is Canis lupus, a wolf. And the subspecies is Canis lupus occidentalis, the northern timber wolf. So if you've got a dog, you can figure out from your vet what kind of dog he is. The example given here is a northern timber wolf, and he's got titles, got categories. But what is it? It's a dog, but what kind of dog is it? What's your dog? For example, when two different species of the genus Canis crossbreed, then a different subspecies occurs, yet it too is also a dog. So you can have a mutt, and you can take it to the vet and say, I found this dog. Tell me what kind it is. And he is able, if he's a good vet, he'll do a little blood test or whatever it is those vets do, and he'll say, this is a hound. It's impossible to know where this started. And therefore, they say, well, can you give me some idea? And they would respond, canine. You've got a canine. But God only knows how many dogs are involved in getting to this point. But you can love this canine. Why not? It's just a dog. But it's got a category, and a vet can figure out what it is. And you're saying, well, why are you telling me this? Well, I'm telling you this because it's a dog. And everything has a name and a category and a situation. and the vets can give it to you and say, here's the whole deal on this particular animal. How about Homo sapiens? How about that crowd? Human beings, but we have different bloodlines. What's your bloodline? Well, it's obviously you're a human. And the human means that there's only one thing. There's only one category of human, and it's called man or woman. That's it. Now, presently, people are trying to change all of this. And the reason I'm stuttering is because I find it completely amazing that we all went to school and found out that human beings are one category and there are no others. We're animals. There's no question we're in the animal realm, but Homo sapien is who we are, and there are no others. Yet there are those who insist that there are other categories, and therefore presently they're trying to demonstrate there can be other categories if we do the right kind of, what shall we say, imputations to them. We've gotten to the point to where we've lost our collective minds. A client nation that thinks this way can't survive. Yet when people in authority decide that these things can happen and it's okay for these processes to go forward and nobody should be upset about it, then what we have is a breakdown of order in society. And there's no greater impact on the order of society than to change what God has created and try to transform it into quite something else. And you do it to children and you tell them this is a good thing that's being done to you. Now, they may show up at the front door Wednesday and saying, you can't be talking like that anymore. We're going to take your license away. To which I would say, I ain't got no license. I'm just a PT doing the best I can. But I told the truth. Yeah, you have a right to remain silent. That's where we are, guys. Lucifer's rebellion employs speciation to eliminate Homo sapiens. So to repeat, in our previous studies of genealogy, we noted the kingdom Animalia, and we did the dogs here. That's an illustration for you. And therefore, if you go to your vet and you can say to the vet, I want to change the kind of dog I got. And he's going to look at you and say, well, I'll tell you what kind of dog you got, but that's what it's going to be when I get through with it. It's going to be that dog. And say, well, I want to alter it in some way. And he would say, well, that's called a dog abuse. We can't do that here at this office. And if you can't do it to dogs, should you be doing it to children? How mankind fits into these classifications must be recognized if we're going to sort out Genesis chapter 5. Here's a brief description. Homo sapiens, genus and species to which all modern human beings belong, Homo sapiens is distinguished from other animals. Homo sapiens, translated man the wise from the Latin, this is the only currently existing species of the genus Homo. Now, you're a Homo. Notice the capital H. That's your category. And then sapiens, Homo sapiens, genus and species to which all modern human beings belong. Homo sapiens is distinguished from other animals. All right, got that? So you're a Homo sapien. And you can be a female or a male, unless somebody comes along and tries to change that, which would be child abuse. Now, the entry on Homo sapiens in the Encyclopedia Britannica Macropedia contains 32 pages, none of which provided any information worth repeating. Now, I've got Encyclopedia Britannica. I can't quite remember the edition. It's at the bottom of the page. I apologize. It's one of those editions. The latest, 2010, that was it, the 2010 edition. They decided to go electronic with the 2010 edition. In other words, if you want to get an encyclopedia with pages, then you get the 2010 edition. And then they announced, we're not publishing the encyclopedia anymore. You have to go online. They're trying to take away words. This I want to ask you. If I've got an encyclopedia and I open it up to Homo sapiens, and you can do that, and it goes on and on and on and on for about 30 some odd pages, and I can tell you, and I've got it in my notes somewhere, that when you get through studying the section on Homo sapiens in the Encyclopedia Britannica, all you have read is propaganda. Oh, I'm not making this up. I've got the encyclopedia, and I want you to get the 2010 edition, and you go to Homo sapiens, or whatever title it was they stuck on at that time, and you read that, and all they're telling you is that these are the kinds of things that go on. And they're not quite certain because they can't prove it, but Homo sapiens, we are the only breed of cat in that division. And where do we come from? We came from all kinds of weird-looking creatures. And they got pictures of them in the encyclopedia. With under the picture, they'll give a description about who these creatures are. And you're going to say, this is supposed to be my granddaddy? The entry on Homo sapiens in the Encyclopedia Britannica Macropedia contains 32 pages, none of which provided any information worth repeating. The entire article was based on, get this, Charles Darwin's On the Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection. Darwin is the major resource. Charles Darwin. With that as its major source and other writing based on its conclusions, referencing information from it would amount to gross anomaly. Yet, in the excerpt cited above, we do have the subject's only dependable statement, quote, Homo sapiens, translated man is wise, end quote, is the only currently existing species of genus Homo. So we're unique. At least they admitted that. Therefore, why bother with this nonsense? Because the above statement is true. Mankind is the only currently existing species of the genus Homo. The statement does leave open the idea that there were other such species of Homo variety, but none have been discovered. That's from the encyclopedia. So, after all these years, nobody has come up with another Homo something. Homo sapien? No, nobody's entered into this picture. Why? Because God created one crowd. And he did that perfectly at the beginning. And the Homo sapiens we've seen develop in Genesis, beginning with Adam and Esau, and continuing all the way through Genesis chapter 5, have been in the same genus. This same genus, Homo sapiens. Within these chapters, we've developed the chart pedigrees of Adam down to Noah and his son Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, who are these guys? We've got eight people who were able to get on a boat and float. We're getting involved. We're doing a review of the ark a little later. But they got on a boat. God said, build the boat this way. And we got information from that a little later. But build it this way. Told them how wide it was going to be, how tall it was going to be, and so on. Build it that way. This is not a ship. This comes out in the scripture. This is not a ship. What is designed to do is float. It's made of wood. I want you to build it in these ways, these dimensions. When you get it done, and it took about a year to get it done. And then the Lord decided he was going to clean house. And he told Adam and Eshah, said, look, pull everything together. On a certain date, I'm going to tell you to get on the boat, seal the door, and stand fast for about a year. And they did. And it floated. Made out of wood. Wood floats. And then we get to stats later on. But the stats tell us, and it's in Scripture, and we'll point it out when we get to it, that there is a passage that says the waters came out from underneath the earth's surface. And in addition to that, there were thunderstorms from above. The Bible clearly points out there's a huge inventory of water underneath the earth's surface that was called forward as well as the rains from above, and it encapsulated the entire planet, excuse me, so that even Mount Everest was crested by it. It's in Scripture. Because it said all the mountains were overwhelmed by the water. So you take a look at the planet. How many mountains are there? Well, a lot of them. What's the tallest one? Mount Everest, which is about 29,000 feet above sea level. And it said it was crested. It's in Scripture. I'll get to it. Crested. By about 3 feet. Now, it's round. There's water somewhere within the interior of the earth. And there's water in the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, everything comes unwound. And when the rains begin to come, these guys are on their boat, which is designed to do what? Float. There are no paddles. Your job is just to hang tough for about a year. Now, I've told you what groceries to put on there for you and the animals, so you have a lot to do for a year. And when the year is over, you're going to come down, and we'll start this process all over again with eight people. Who else was involved? Those people drowned, or they're incarcerated in some specific area, and we'll get to that later. Those are your ancestors. And there's a list of them. When he gets down to the bottom, you've just got Noah and his three sons and his wife, who is unnamed. Eight people. This brings us to Genesis chapter 6, where we run into a problem. Here's why. Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2. Now it came about when mankind began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, now that phrase needs to be evaluated. Who are the sons of God, plural here? Well, it turns out these have to do with fallen angels. They were among those created by God in eternity past. But they were part of the angelic rebellion, so one third of the angelic population fell and therefore went in league with Lucifer. And they're referred to here as the sons of God. Fallen angels were among those created by God in eternity past. And they kept watching the daughters of humankind, that they were very beautiful. Thus they passionately seized to themselves women whom they selected. Did you get that? Perverts. They decided they liked what the women looked like. They were women. And therefore, they decided, now I've got 1 minute left, and I want you to know that when I say this, we can open that door back there. There's one over here on the side. You can try to get out this way. Okay. The angels procreated with the women. Got that? I use the word procreation. You got that? Anybody need a dictionary on that one? Procreated. And what was the offspring? Half breed. One half angel. One half homo sapien. How about that? You good with that? We haven't, listen to this. So the Lord said, my spirit, the Holy Spirit, shall not always protect human women and their offspring forever. For this reversionism is among homo sapiens with sin natures. This situation will terminate in 120 years and so on. So on page 53, we've seen the tawdry efforts by the angelic population on Lucifer's side to have relationships with human women producing the Nephilim. And we'll do a little research on who the Nephs were when we come back after halftime. And you can either leave and go home or stay for tea and crumpets.